Welcome to today's Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
With almond and pistachio harvest in full swing, this could be your last chance to get the navel orangeworm control you need. Power up late season NOW control with the exceptional flexibility and performance of Spearlep. Spearlep's unique mode of action provides excellent NOW control, and because there's zero-day PHI and it's MRL exempt, you can safely return to the field within a few hours of spraying. Visit Vestaron.com to find your local sales representative or call your retailer to get more information.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture has contracted with Crow LLP to conduct a regulatory alignment study in collaboration with the State Water Resources Control Board. The study is evaluating food safety and water quality regulations as part of an effort to streamline administrative processes and optimize information collected by the state. Stakeholder input is being sought for this effort, and Crow is offering listening sessions with all interested parties, either individually or in groups. Input will be kept confidential. Key regulatory programs being evaluated include the Produce Safety Program, the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program, the Dairy Confined Animal Facilities Program, the Stormwater Industrial General Permit, and the State and Regional Winery Programs. California Treasurer Fiona Ma and her team visited two prominent Grub Market wholesale distributor facilities, JC Produce and SGS Produce in Los Angeles. They are thrilled to host California State Treasurer Fiona Ma at these facilities in the Los Angeles area, according to Mike Hsu, CEO of Grub Market. As an Asian American founder who started Grub Market with big goals to disrupt the food supply chain industry and make fresh, healthy food accessible to everyone, he is happy to see her support for them and their community. Together, he says, they will continue to drive a more resilient and sustainable food future for all. Carol Chandler, general manager of Shapiro Gilman Chandler Company, or SGS, said that they are welcoming Ma's interest in their warehouse and distribution operations and appreciate her understanding of the challenges that they currently face. She says that Ma's commitment to ensuring a strong supply chain, labor force, and sustainability program highlights what essential private industry can accomplish with a partner like her in our great state. During her tour, Ma spoke with employees of both companies and employees from other Grub Market businesses in the area and saw the inner workings of receiving and distributing perishable products such as fruits and vegetables. She says it was a pleasure meeting with all the general managers in a Grub Market ecosystem and gaining a stronger understanding of its role in the food supply chain. Watching produce come off refrigerator trucks and brought into warehouses, then moved on forklifts to accommodate Los Angeles County's 10 million plus consumers was an exhilarating experience, according to Ma. According to data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, high fuel prices are of particular concern to the trucking industry, upon which specialty crop producers rely on to get their produce to market. Some of the increased transportation costs are absorbed by producers themselves, who may receive less income for the same amount of product since it will cost more to ship. The remainder of the increase is generally passed on to consumers in the form of price increases as well as package shrinkage. Asparagus crossings from Mexico through Arizona, California, and Texas movement is expected to remain about the same. Trading was very slow, with prices representing very few spot market sales and generally unchanged. The July position report released here recently by the Almond Board of California showed July shipments totaling 187 million pounds, up 10% year over year, and the second highest July shipment figure on record. The figure was in line with industry expectations, with market participants surveyed by Mintec prior to the release estimating a range of 170 to 200 million pounds, with most market participants returning figures of 175 to 190 million pounds. The release had already been priced into the market despite the good shipment figure. It hasn't been enough to put a major dent in ending stocks, so nothing much has changed, according to a European broker. The shipment figure placed on the 2022-23 ending stocks at 792 million pounds was a drawdown of only 45 million pounds from the start of the season. Combined with the USDA objective almond measurement of 2.60 billion pounds, this would place the total supply for the 2023-24 season at over 3 billion billion pounds and in line with the total supply in 2022 to 23. This is the fourth season with supply over 3 billion pounds and is going to be another year of losses. A lot of people will be going out of business this year unless production comes in below the USDA estimate, according to one U.S. handler. Sales for the 2023-24 season clocked in at 205 million pounds, the lowest on record since the Almond Board began reporting these figures. The low figure failed to surprise, with market participants reporting they were focused on clearing old crop from stores and noted a general lack of buying interest over the summer period. Celebrating 46 years, the Ag Boosters Barbecue has become a tradition for supporters and friends of the Ag One Foundation and the California Women for Agriculture, raising more than $1 million for student scholarships and programs that support California agriculture. The annual fundraising event will be at 4 p.m. on Sunday, September 10th at George's Ranch, formerly known as Pinoche Creek River. The barbecue dinner will be from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. with the San Joaquin River as the backdrop. Guests can enjoy farm products grown and produced by Fresno State students, including award-winning wine, grapes, raisins, extra virgin olive oil, sausage, and more. In addition, there will be a country store filled with handmade arts, crafts, and baked goods. Silent and live auctions under the stars will offer guests the opportunity to bid on vacation getaways and specialty items unique to the Boosters Barbecue. Event proceeds benefit students and programs in the Jordan College of Agricultural Sciences and Technology at Fresno State, as well as the education efforts of the California Women for Agriculture. Tickets are available online for $75 a person or for $700 for a table of 10. Ticket prices will increase to $85 a person or $800 for a table of 10 beginning August 31st. For information, log on to agonefoundation.org. The Coastal Compound is being sold to the Wildlands Conservancy, with the environmental group planning to turn the 14,000-acre property into a nature preserve, that according to Hall & Hall. The owner has extensive water rights and resources, including several domestic, livestock, and agricultural wells. The acquisition was completed on July 28th, according to the Conservancy. A mix of public and private funds went into the land purchase, including $24 million from the California Wildlife Conservation Board, the largest grant for acquisition the state agency has made in 2023, and $2 million from the State Coastal Conservancy. The Wildlands Conservancy is contributing $2.5 million, and another $6.5 million is coming via a loan provided by Markula. Markula was an original Apple computer investor and served as the company's first chairman and second CEO.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Last year, excessive heat and other factors affected walnut crop quality in a year with too much product on hand, and it didn't fare well for the industry. While it was essentially the worst year on record, Robert Verloop, head of the California Walnut Board and Commission, said the industry still needs to look at the long term and the things that need to be done to bring the industry back to profitability. Part of this process involves figuring out where the industry stands on acreage, which the board recently investigated.
About 23,000 acres removed between October 1st and June 30th. And, I've seen it's run the gamut between people that just didn't want to keep investing into this marketplace. We've seen folks that were certainly challenged in the southern part of the state with water availability and some of the groundwater challenges that they're facing, where they had to reduce their acres because of Sigma, and at the same time had an increase in cost for the remaining water. So that's always a challenge. And then we did see some acres that were younger that were being removed because there were other options that the grower and the landowners wanted to pursue. So kind of a combination of all of the above and even more. We do anticipate that there probably will be an additional 5,000 to 10,000 acres that will come out that were not captured by the end of June. So July, August, there were a lot of acres that, oh, not a lot, but there were acres that were abandoned that had not been pushed over yet, and either chipped or burned. And we anticipate that we'll see a little bit more after harvest. There may be some growers that are in a situation where they were able to get through enough water to sustain their orchards and put enough material on to grow a good crop and hopefully be able to harvest that. And at that point, make some other decisions depending on their own situation. So all in all, the industry, with that reduction, we last year recorded about 440,000 acres total, of which 40,000 were non-bearing. And so if you remove the 23,000 acres from the mix and try to anticipate, you know, how many of those non-bearing are now bearing, we're probably somewhere around 390 to 400,000 acres of bearing acreage, with 20,000-25,000 that are non-bearing. It'll be interesting to see, of course, how that changes. And we're now working with Land IQ for our acreage basis, and their next report will be spring of next year. And then we'll have a real good grasp of where we stand on just the acres themselves.
Another update comes within the realm of market conditions, which Verloop said the board is bullish on. A couple recent events influencing this view are the lifting of tariffs in India, positive shipment reports and domestic sales, as well as expected quality improvements this season.
We came out of a winter with such great rains that, you know, flushed out the salts in the soil. It regenerated the soil, so we had a healthy root zone. We had wonderful winter chill hours for the walnuts, at least. And as a result of that, we had mild winter temperatures in general, but then really mild spring. And that mild spring produced a really even bud break and great pollination. And that bud break, both for the flowers themselves, but also for the leaves, resulted in this big, beautiful, vibrant, vigorous leaf cover canopies that we see. And so you walk through a walnut grove this year compared to last year or the previous 6 or 7 years, it is notably different. It's cooler. We have the deep moisture, so the trees continue to flourish. The nut set was phenomenal because, again, those mild spring temperatures. You have to sell quality product. And this last year was an anomaly for us. We really look at what's on the tree right now. And when you open up the walnut, you can see that, you know, all the right things are in place to have a high quality crop. Understandably, that, you know, we're looking at still a couple of weeks before we really hit into the strong part of the start of the harvest season. But our trees are better shape and better condition today than they have been for 6 or 7 years. And that deficit irrigating takes a long time to recover. And with the rains that we had, the mild temperatures, you know, those trees had really a great rest period this year. And so from a production standpoint, you know, we're looking ahead and seeing a good crop on the trees. Now, you match that with the fact that we're coming into the end of the crop year for 2022. And despite all the challenges in quality that we had, the handlers have been able to remove a lot of product that has gone to whether it may be cattle feed or oil stock or other, you know, non-fresh consumption purposes. Coupled with the fact that we had the very large USDA Section 32 buy, which will move by December, well into the 55 to 57 million tons. I'm sorry, 57 million pounds, and we're only halfway through that right now. So when we look at what our shipments to date are, and then we look at what our commitments are, our carryover into next year will be. Really reflects the fact that we're pretty well sold out of the 22 crop. And when you look back over the last 5 years, we've not had that situation since then. And so while typically we like to hold between 8 to 9% of the crop for the transition period between September, October, right now, the way that it looks, we really are, as I said, sold out. We also have a really strong domestic fall season right now. We have several large national chains that are on promotions. And so that's really shoring up the end of the season, which typically we wouldn't have that. And part of the reason for that is, one, I think our handlers are being more aggressive with their domestic promotions. Our domestic sales are up somewhere around 22% for the year. And currently we have retail merchandisers working for the commission who are helping set up promotional programs across the country. And we've had some national accounts, we've had regional accounts, and we've got a couple more coming up here in September, October. So that all combined has added a lot of demand at a time that traditionally we wouldn't have seen it. When you narrow it down, so you're coming in with a nice size crop, but you don't have a lot of carryover. And as a comparison, by the way, last year we had 137,000 tons, and this year we'll probably be below 30,000 tons of uncommitted product, which is virtually sold out. So when you put those numbers together like that, there's a real reason to be bullish from our perspective. Now, couple that with what's going on in the marketplace, right? Chile has had a lighter crop than they had anticipated. They've been shipping everything predominantly in shell. That's their preference. And as we look at what their remaining inventories appear to be, that too is going to be at a very low level by October. So the transition from Southern Hemisphere, the Northern Hemisphere, California, should be a relatively smooth one. And I'm a firm believer that as buyers start to see our quality, the fact that we've had such great growing conditions, they'll return back to the market. And California's known for high quality kernels. We anticipate that be in big demand almost immediately, because internationally right now, there's not a lot of supply of kernels available.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
Strength in farm real estate values persisted in the second quarter despite some moderation in the farm economy and higher interest rates. The Kansas City Federal Reserve says growth in farmland values eased from the surge in recent years but remained strong through the first half of 2023. Broad strength in farm finances during recent years continued supporting agricultural credit conditions. Margins for many commodities have thinned in recent months alongside elevated production costs and softening prices. Farm loan performance remained historically strong through early 2023, and liquidity levels at many agricultural banks were well positioned to meet growth in lending demand that could be on the horizon. Farm incomes moderated in all participating districts during the second quarter. Following almost 2 years of considerable strength, improvement in farm income waned, according to the Federal Reserve surveys of ag credit conditions. Loan demand remained subdued despite moderating incomes. The U.S. Trade Representative has requested a panel formation under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement over Mexico's decision to ban imports of biotech corn used in human consumption. Mexico's decree runs counter to scientific findings and is in direct violation of USMCA, which negatively impacts American corn growers, according to NCGA President Tom Hag. U.S. Grains Council President and CEO Ryan LeGrand says that the U.S. and Mexico have had a long and productive relationship. He says it's the number one market for U.S. corn, and they support this action because it will likely be the quickest way to make sure the positive relationship continues into the future. An American Farm Bureau Federation official says even if it's tough getting China to comply with a WTO ruling against its retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports 5 years ago, it was the right decision. AFBF Senior Director of Government Affairs Dave Samuelson says whether or not China complies, it's still important the World Trade Organization uphold world trade rules against Beijing's tariff retaliation for national security-based U.S. metal tariffs.
We know with the condition of the appellate process at the WTO, means that without a functioning appellate body, it will be difficult, at least the direct matter, to get that enforced. But it has the weight of the world body behind telling China they really have no basis for continuing these tariffs.
And some of those tariffs remain.
Things like that. So they still have tariffs and they range. Some of them are 10%, some of them are 20%. They're on the books. Now, some of them are being enforced, some of them aren't. Kind of all depends what China needs.
But Samuelson says tariffs that are enforced need to be worked out bilaterally, implying outside the WTO. Still, China remains a core U.S. ag market.
We were about $36 billion last year, the highest ever. And, of course, we'll see where that goes this year. But agricultural trade with China still remains very, very strong, still our number one market.
Despite U.S.-China differences, Samuelson says countries sometimes compartmentalize issues when they need products. They need them, especially ag products. As farmers increase their use of internet to buy inputs and apply for precision agriculture, the federal government continues to roll out more grant and loan funds to expand rural broadband access. USDA is rolling out $667 million through its fourth major funding round for the ReConnect Internet program, which includes $493 million in grants and another $174 million in loans. The funding comes as more than 50% of farmers in at least a handful of states report using internet for precision agriculture. The funding in this round will go to 22 states and the Marshall Islands. The broadband announcement follows USDA's releasing of $714 million back in June. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack plugged the importance of the grant funding announced because it allows internet providers to offer more affordable pricing plans to families in those communities. The secretary also said that rural broadband helps tie into the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities, as well as to help farmers reduce their emissions, sequester carbon, and ideally create a higher value market for their commodities. These programs will also seek to collect data from producers. What are the latest numbers for milk production and price forecasts with USDA's latest outlook? USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain has the story.
Slight changes down are reported for most milk production categories in both forecast years. According to USDA's latest outlook and World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski,
we lowered our milk production forecast this month by 400 million pounds for 2023. That reflects lower cow numbers and lower milk per cow, in part due to heat stress reducing productivity. And then into 2024, we also reduced our milk production forecast there by 100 million pounds, reflecting lower cow numbers.
Meanwhile, prices are up in all categories of milk product and class, except for dry whey, which is down both years.
The all milk price for 2023 currently have it at $19.95 per hundredweight. That's up 40 cents per hundredweight this month from where we were in July. And for 2024, we're forecasting $19.35 per hundredweight. That's down 60 cents year over year.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
New research has shown that one vegetable in particular could be healthier than others. According to a study published in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention journal, Preventing Chronic Disease, watercress could be one of the healthiest vegetables around. A team from William Patterson University in New Jersey ranked the plant as one of 41 powerhouse foods. Scores were based on how nutrient-dense each food was, as well as their potential to protect against chronic diseases such as cancer and heart disease. Registered dietitian for MyFitnessPal, Stephanie Nelson, explained that watercress is high in vitamin K, vitamin C, and vitamin A. It's also part of the cruciferous vegetable family alongside broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts. Cruciferous vegetables have powerful antioxidants in them that help to prevent cell damage that might cause cancer and other diseases. Her colleague, dietitian Joanna Gregg, said that with strong antioxidant properties, watercress's health benefits range from decreasing oxidant stress to reducing tissue damage related to the development of some cancers. This aromatic vegetable can be added to any salad, sandwich, or smoothie for a powerful health-promoting punch.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. That is there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.